time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Jordi, Messi, Jordi, el centro, Messi.
Messi Uncle, Breaking Major League en la Ciudad del Sol. Here in Miami, we know who's the campeón. Leo, my team, yeah. Suárez on the field, Alex wedding day team. Con mis fechas un win, the trio Fabi singing muchachos. La familia se escucha en los barrios. Esta camiseta pinky la llevan todos los guachos. Los rookies quedan sin comentarios. Messi ambetea, tiki taki gol. El estadio Chase bañado en lloro y sudor. Aquí se ama y se respeta el balón. Florida es tu casa, acostúmbrate al calor. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco. Estate listo pa' Messi Anco.
Hello and welcome to another special episode of Messi & Co. live edition once again after what was an incredible result for this Inter-Miami team and Messi over the weekend. Made it to the next round of the playoffs, into the first conference semifinals for the club. So much good things to talk about, just topics in general to talk about. But of course, first and foremost, how are we doing, Gian?
I'm doing good. It's Monday. My team's headed to the next round. We won not only a normal win, it was a show of force. It was like, we're here. Miami is here. And it was just an incredible win. So I'm really excited to talk about it. But I'm doing good. I'm doing good. We're here in Miami, hoping that the cool weather starts to come finally. This is our winter, which our winter is really like fall for everybody else. I mean, like it gets in the 60s here, and we're, you know, with a coat on from head to toe. People usually in the north are in like shorts and sandals, but I don't know. I'm good. I'm happy to start the week off. How about you?
Me too. Yeah. I mean, the game on Saturday was obviously, like you said, super dominant performance, and it made me feel not only good about that game, but just in general, I feel good about this team. And like I said, I was very happy with what I saw. And yeah, I'm excited for the cold weather too. I mean, again, like you said, quote unquote cold. But yeah, it's going to be exciting. Someone else is in the cold right now, actually. And his name is Lionel Messi, which we're going to get to in a little bit because he's in Spain with the national team. But, you know, gosh, what a game. And I think there's a lot of talking points we can get to. But I guess, honestly, first and foremost, let's just talk about the overall performance. Dominant win, 4-0. Could have probably been more. Nashville probably could have had a goal or two, but regardless, I felt that Inter-Miami were in control from minute one. And we saw, obviously, Messi with just an incredible performance, goals and assists galore, Tadeo Allende with a brace, just everyone playing their part. Obviously, no Luis Suarez, which we're going to get to, but you saw Jordi Alba playing at a super high level. We saw, obviously, Messi, Busquets, all the things that we wanted to see and hope to see. And it came through in what was a huge performance. And unlike last year, Inter-Miami have made it to the next round of the MLS playoffs. They're going to be in the conference semifinals playing against Cincinnati, which we'll obviously talk about. But must be said that, like, really good result, really happy with that performance.
Same, really happy. Really happy with it, and this team really just showed out, and it was incredible. Let's say hi to those in the chat before we keep going. Hey, Ash, beat them. The team, what is it, played crisp last game. They may finally be on the same page. Luis Suarez played his role as social media troll. 100%. We were talking about that right before we got on. No, but this team performed amazing. And I think that if this team continues to play like they did against Nashville, this not only this series, but this especially this last game, I think that the sky's the limit for this team and they can make it to the final. I really liked the lineup. I thought the lineup was excellent. Again, in part because of the fact that Luis Suarez wasn't available, but this team just looked so much faster. They put so much more pressure on the ball. I think what was the most interesting here is it was all led by Lionel Messi. Messi was putting so much pressure on the ball. He was the one leading the press.
Yeah.
There were times where he was running back and challenging balls, basically on our defensive side. One of them that comes to mind is that one play where Haney Mukhtar Haney Mukhtar that clashed with Rodrigo de Paul. Rather, Rodrigo de Paul clashed against him. Haney Mukhtar kind of got in his face. There was a little bit of, you know, a little bit of skirmish there. And then right after that play, Haney Mukhtar has the ball. It's like a counterattack. And Messi follows him all the way from the back into our side of the field and just bodies him. And I was like, okay, that's Messi just on fire. And Messi is just emotionally involved. And I just love that. He's a leader. And when he does that, when he plays like that, I feel like everybody is fired up. So I loved that. And then obviously, like you said, Tadeo Allende, two goals. Amazing.
One amazing finish.
It's a shame you don't get so much MLS coverage on ESPN Top 10, because that's an ESPN Top 10 for sure. A top three play.
It's almost a Puskas nomination.
because not only is it a chip, which is beautiful, but the fact it was a chip from outside the area, like it was just
an unguardable. I mean, goes in the corner, back of the net, side netting, like insane.
No, yes. So you've got two goal scorers there. You've got Messi with a brace. You've got Allende with a brace. We spoke to him about it, actually, to Tadeo Allende in the mix zone after the game. I want to show some of those interviews. We'll show them in a moment so that we can kind of talk about that. But just an overall amazing game. And Ash, like, we'll talk about it again, too, in a moment. Suarez, like, not being on the team and this team looking different without him. And I think you were expecting the team to look different without him, and maybe you're looking at it from a negative standpoint, but this team positively looked better. And it begs the question, if you're Mascherano, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Do you mind if I bring up some SOFA scores? I want to show some of these SOFA scores that I think are interesting. I think it'd be cool to kind of go through some of them really quick here.
Totally.
This is always fun to look at right here. So let's go ahead and look at some of these SOFA scores. So I wanted to see. Let's look at our lineup first and foremost. Our lineup. So we had in the back Rios Novo, we had Jordi Alba, Noah Allen, Falcón, and we had Ian Frey, and then we had Baltasar Rodriguez, Busquets, Rodrigo De Paul, and Tadeo Allende, and then we had Silvetti and Messi. For me, I'm interested to see how you saw this play out. For the most part, I believe it was a 4-2-3-1 where you had Busquets and you had De Paul that were playing as the defensive midfielders. And then you had a line of Baltasar on the left, Silvetti a lot of times in the middle. And then on the right-hand side, you had Tadeo Allende with Messi playing a false nine role, which just played out beautifully because you had Silvetti running in, you had Tadeo Allende running in, Baltasar. How did you feel about that?
100%. I think that two players that stood out for me outside of Messi and Tadeo Allende, so I'm going to say outside of the two goal scorers, was Matteo Silvetti. First of all, I mean, we knew he'd have the energy, but wow, what he's creating right now, like when he's on the field, he's really like two or three amazing chances. He obviously got the assist on Messi's second goal, but just the way the confidence he plays with for being 19 years old and like the amount of offense and attacking he creates is just like so amazing. And again, I know it's like because of Luis Suarez coming back, it's probably going to be Suarez who starts over Silvetti, for example, which we'll get to. But I thought he just was absolutely immense. And then the other player who I thought had possibly his best game, if not one of his best games for Inter Miami, Rodrigo De Paul. We were texting about this on the side. I thought that Rodrigo De Paul was everywhere in this match. Starting from minute one, he was in every empty space that you needed and constantly getting the ball, helping alleviate pressure, whether he was helping as a center back or transitioning in the midfield. It was a match where I'm like, I see the engine. I see him being not necessarily like creating the goals and the chances, even though he had, a good shot, but just being in every space you need him to be. It was really, really impressive. And so for me, I just thought it really stood out. And like we had been saying, we need him to show up in the playoffs. I think he showed up on Saturday and I was really happy with his performance.
No, he played very well. Very well. 6.7 on the SOFA score with Busquets at a 7.1.
Well, not the yellow card, which brings it down, right?
Yeah, I think that's part of the algorithm. But he played amazing. And I think that's one of the things that we were looking forward to with Rodrigo De Paul is him finding his legs. We have to, you know, I don't think that he's played horrible by any means. I just, obviously, the bar is set a lot higher for Rodrigo De Paul, a guy coming from La Liga, coming from the third best team in La Liga, and a guy that's set to take up a DP spot and in which we'd have to pay $17 million to bring him in. The bar is set really high. And I think that now he's slowly starting to get into rhythm. It's taken some time, but it's the best time to do it in the playoffs, right? It's what we expected from him. He's been running Busquets back in the midfield, not having to play a back three anymore, which was, I think, the best thing that we've seen. Messi, SOFA score 10. I mean, come on. Like, he just played out of his mind from the passing to the two.
He's pretty good.
He's insane. I love that. Silvetti also had a great SOFA score, 7.2. And then obviously, Tadeu Allende with a 9, probably the highest SOFA score that he's gotten. And I think that this team played out of just absolutely out of their mind. Real deal. What's up? Big time players step up, big time games, 100%.
100%.
So let's actually bring up some of these interviews. I think it'd be fun to go through some of them. So after the game, we went to the mix zone. We were able to talk to Matteo Silvetti. We were able to talk to Tadeu Allende. And we were also able to talk to Noah Allen. So I think it was a good kind of spectrum from one side of the field to the next, because we were able to talk a little bit about the offense, talk to Silvetti about what it felt like to get his first assist with Inter Miami and to none less than Messi himself. And then obviously this team shut Nashville out, clean sheet. So we wanted to understand a little bit about the defense. What did Inter Miami do different from last game to this game? So I'm going to go ahead
really
and
bring quick. It must be said though, the two boys from Rosario, Argentina, one assisting the goal of the other. That's all I'm saying. Not bad.
Not bad at all. So let's go ahead and bring some of these up, and I'm going to do is just bring our Twitter feed up. And if you guys aren't following us on Twitter or X, make sure you follow us at Messi and Co. You guys will catch all of the mix zone. What we'll do is usually we'll post the interviews that we do. And in the comments, we're going to go ahead and post the entire mix zone interview with that player. So you can go ahead and see basically all of the questions on there. So let's go ahead and get through this first one. So, all right. So we've got the first one here with Tadeu Allende. I thought this was a fun one. Why was this a fun one? Because Tadeu Allende, as you guys know, has been in a slump. He was in a slump from August to September. He had gone 8 games without scoring whatsoever. And he had gotten a lot of criticism.
Big opportunities, we'll say.
Yeah, exactly. So it wasn't the fact that he wasn't getting the opportunities. Like Ash said, he was getting into the right spaces. He was running, making sure that he was available to get the ball. He was just missing some clear, blank shots. And I think sometimes as a player, that gets in your head. And it's tough to get out of that. But he did it. And in his last 10 matches, Tadeu Allende has 7 goals. And we let him know about that. And it was cool because I started the question off with, hey, Tadeu, you had a streak of 8 games where you didn't score. And he made a face like, bro, what are you? And then as soon as I said, but you have 7 goals in 10 games, smile from ear to ear, I thought was really cool. I went ahead and asked him, like, what have you changed? What's different? And let's go ahead and play. Ash, let me know if you hear the audio.
I do hear the audio. Can we make it bigger, though?
Yeah. Let's go ahead and make this bigger here. All right, here we
go. Yeah. Una pregunta. Empezando en agosto, tuviste una racha de más o menos 8 partidos sin meter gol, pero los próximos 10 tienes 7 goles en 10 partidos. O sea, increíble. No sé si son cosas del fútbol, así es el fútbol, o hiciste algo, cambiaste algo, no sé, como que es increíble.
Las rachas y las sequías son habituales en los futbolistas. Sí, hay mucho trabajo personal, el trabajo fue notorio, con psicólogo, con coach, con entrenamiento en la cancha, con todo. Y creo que bueno, de a poco se van notando los cambios y el fruto.
So that was Tadeo Allende talking about him and his current streak. And I thought a couple of things were interesting to me. Number one, he said the streaks are normal. Yeah. And all players go through different streaks. We've seen some of the best, I think, go through dry spells. So he said that's something everybody goes through. But what's interesting is also we talk about not only sometimes we focus a lot on the physical part, but it's also the psyche of the player. And he said it himself, part of the work that he did was with the coaches and training, but also if you caught it, he said with the psychologist.
Personal, yeah.
And I think that as a player where you're only, at least in his position, his main role is to score and he's missing these point blank shots and he's got all the criticism and it's heavy on his shoulders. The psychologist is going to help him, and it's a sports psychologist because it's going to help him get out of his own head and be able to open these doors. And obviously it worked. Seven goals in his last 10 matches. Yeah. He's doing well. And I think for Inter Miami and in this playoff run, it's important to have this guy. And Ash, I don't know if he continues like this, I'm good with having him next season as well. Like he's great.
100%. I mean, I think, first of all, what a great point about the mental health and the sports psychologist. I mean, this is obviously more an American news story, but important to share. Obviously, there's a tragic passing of a Dallas Cowboys NFL American football player last week. Came out that it was due to mental health struggles. Just shows, I mean, obviously, every day people go through it, but athletes as well. I mean, you know, they're in the spotlight, they get paid the big bucks. And look, we talked about it all season, how we weren't happy with Tadeo Allende's finishing and, you know, his opportunities he missed. But being able to have your own, you know, being able to work on your self-worth and your ability to be present and in a good mental health space is super important. Working with professionals to get there is amazing. And then, like you said, it totally shows off because when you believe in yourself and you're doing things without having to really think about it, you see the good moments. Yeah, the real deal, 100%. Like, people were talking and he continued to work hard, be consistent in his own practicing and off the field and et cetera. And then, like you said, it turns out that at this stretch where the team needs him the most, he gets 7 goals in 10 games and has been playing really, really well and doing what you want for the team. So good on him, good on the team, the psychologist, etc., to be putting players in the best position possible.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so the next one we had the chance to speak to was Mateo Silvetti, which he had his 4th start with Inter Miami.
Yeah.
And I think in quite a big moment, the youngster having to play in an elimination game against a team that just beat you 2-0, I think is tough for anybody, especially at that age with not that much experience. And he sure came through, and he had his first assistance with an Inter Miami uniform, and it happened to be with Messi. It was him running. He gets the ball from Jordi Alba. He runs, makes a run into the area, Messi dragging behind. He looks up. He passes the ball back to Messi and gives Messi the easy goal. So we asked him about that, asked him about how it was to get his first assist with Messi, and asked him a little bit about the play. I wanted to understand a little bit about, you know, did you see Messi the entire time, I asked him, or was it last minute? Was Messi yelling at you like, pass back? So let's go ahead and listen to that one right now and see what Mateo Silvetti has to say. Well, actually, let's do Sorry, that was the full-on one, which if you guys want, you can go ahead and...
You're allowing two goals last match.
Pretty amazing for being a 19-year-old.
Okay, here we go.
Pero lo viste desde un principio, sabías que venía atrás de ti o te diste cuenta al último minuto?
Bueno, creo nada, principal también fue el pase de Jordi, creo que bueno, con esa clase de jugadores que son elite, se hace un poco más fácil todo. Justo con Jordi habíamos hablado de ese tipo de jugada, de buscar esos espacios, salió, bueno, después lo veo a Leo que venía atrás y por suerte salió bien para que termine el gol. No, bueno, yo creo que sí, uno escucha, pero bueno, después en la euforia también del momento y todo, siempre está bueno visualizar y justo por suerte lo vi.
Increíble, gracias. Te quería preguntar un poco sobre la jugada.
Yeah, so he's just saying that luckily he was able to see him last minute, but in the euphoria of all the, yeah. You know, you've got the ball, you're heading into the area, you got to figure out if you're going to shoot, if you're going to pass. It's sometimes hard to hear somebody. But in that moment, luckily, he was able to look up and he saw Messi, but he was excited to obviously get his first assist for Messi.
Excuse me, 100%. And I mean, this is also just a really good point. Allende may be the factor for the Herons going deep into the final. I'd say the same would be for Matteo Silvetti, knowing that the offense has attacking threats outside of just Messi or Suarez, for example, is so important for how the defenses play against us and being able to, you know, create a lot of moments. And yeah, Silvetti, I mean, we saw it in his first match he played. Obviously, I think we think about that, you know, that penalty that Messi gave him and he didn't make it. But I will say we saw from minute one of him playing in Inter Miami. I remember that episode we did after his first match and we were like, whoa, 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 wait a second. Who is this kid and what has he done? Because obviously he came from Noah Old Boys. He came from Argentina, from Rosario, obviously Messi's hometown. And we knew he was this young kind of firecracker and he played for a little bit. Then he went to the U20 World Cup or U21 World Cup, went with Argentina, made it all the way to the final, scored a ton. And then he's come back here. And I mean, knowing you're getting the start because Luis Suarez is suspended, being in a big elimination match, I just thought, wow, that kid has guts. Because that was the performance he's doing and the way he's attacking, spreading the defense, you know, trying to get the goals, the shots. It's just really special.
It is. It is. He just brings a total different dynamic to this team. And I think it's something that they very much need. You talk about guys that we lost in the offseason. You lost a Diego Gomez that can make was strong and can make runs into space and could take the ball and get past a few defenders. We've seen how good he's done in the Premier League for Brighton. And then you also, you know, you lose out on Robert Taylor, who is one of the few that really had that ability to create his own space and take on players, and you needed that. And now you have a youngster in Matteo Silvetti that's able to do that, and that's, I think, really exciting for this team. All right, so then lastly, let's just listen to Noah Allen. And this was just a question to Noah Allen about how, again, the defense had changed, what adjustments, if any, they had made. And I thought something here was interesting, so we can go ahead and talk about it afterwards.
Star reporter we have here.
We had a clean sheet today after allowing two goals last match. You guys were able to handle any Mukhtar, Sam Surridge really well. Just wondering if you guys made any adjustments with last game and going into this game. Anything you did maybe differently that allowed you guys to have the clean sheet this game?
Yeah, I mean, we switched to four in the back, which was, you know, obviously a change. But no, I mean, going into every game, you know, we want to keep a clean sheet, right? Obviously, it doesn't happen all the time. It's normal. It's not, you know, on any individual or team. You know, it happens in the game. You know, it's difficult to keep clean sheets in football, regardless. And we made it, a point really this game. You know, like, look, we can win the game if we don't concede. And you know, we try to make that a point every game. But you know, this game was different because it's an elimination game, and we really, really wanted to emphasize that, just like everything else we were doing.
About the start. Was coming back to help you guys a lot on defense. Just wondering, is that something that just happened in game, at flow of the game, or is that something that from the beginning maybe Mascherano wanted to happen from the beginning?
Yeah, Coach made good adjustments from last game, and that was one of the adjustments.
Wow, great question by you, our bilingual reporting king.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's funny, when Noah Allen came in, it was a shame that you weren't able to make it to this game, but I'm sure you would have asked a great question. You like asking Noah Allen questions and Ian Frey, and you usually have good ones. But I thought that this was
in English, yeah. Well, I was just in Spain, and my Spanish, like I said, I spoke only in Spanish when I was there. So maybe next season, I'll ask in Spanish.
I thought it was enlightening, right? It was really helped us understand a few of the adjustments on this team. One of the things that we saw last game, and obviously I don't think worked well for two reasons, was Busquets dropping in between Noah Allen and Maxi Falcón to make a back three. Meanwhile, Ian Frey and Jordi Alba went up. And that really just caused a lot of pain on defense, especially on the counterattacks. And that's what, I mean, even though we didn't really get scored on from the run of play last game, but still there were occasions that it was causing issues, and it's caused issues in the past. So one of the adjustments that they made was they played a back four this time. What does that mean? Busquets didn't slot in between the two center backs. Jordi Alba played a bit more back to make sure that he was there available to help on defense. Ian Frey as well. One of the things that we also noticed, and Noah Allen confirmed it, was Baltasar. There's sometimes, again, not the entire game, but there were some times where you would see what looked like almost a back five sometimes, where Baltasar was coming back to help a lot on defense. So Noah Allen, they're saying that was also one of the adjustments that that Mascherano had made. So that's why the defense looked really well. I think it's looked some of the best it's looked all season.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a great job. Clean sheet. What else can 100%. You ask for?
100%. I mean, Baltasar Rodriguez and Rodrigo de Paul, like we said, and even Busquets throughout the game, dropping back when needed and knowing when to drop back. Obviously, Hani Mukhtar and Sam Surge had a couple moments where you're like, you know, they're good players. They make it through, etc. But really, throughout the whole match, I was never worried about a huge Nashville attacker scoring multiple goals. I mean, right after the first half, there was a little period when the second half started, but I think that is natural in most games. Like when you know the other team, you're down two goals in an elimination game, you're pushing forward. But the back four in general was really good. I mean, it's the lineup we hoped and we predicted for. Noah Allen and Maxi Falcón, I think, have been the best center back duo of this Inter Miami team that we've seen. And then Ian Frey, obviously, is our choice always as right back when available. If you need, sometimes Chelo can come in, obviously, because Ian Frey has had his share of injuries, and you know, you need to make sure he's healthy and viable throughout the match and for the whole thing. And then Jordi Alba, I mean, let's transition and talk a little bit about Jordi Alba, because all I was thinking while watching that match and then when the match ended is, how is he going to retire in the next few weeks, like whenever the Inter Miami season ends? How can he retire? He's still so good. I think he's still one of the best left backs in the league. And it's just, both offensively and defensively, and even in the midfield, I mean, Jordi Alba is so consistently good in creating and defending. Like I said, it's just, he makes such a difference in this squad. And I mean, we'll deal with next season when we have to, but he just deserves praise, because even at this point, I mean, Sergio Busquets had a good game too, but Jordi Alba is just sensational. He really is. They said on the American broadcast, really quick before you go, and I thought this was, or the English broadcast, I thought this was a really good point. They said, you know, Jordi Alba changed how the left back is viewed in Europe and just in football in general. Because he came in and he was basically a number 10 and like played in his, you know, when he was coming up in the academy and everything for Valencia, he played at a number 10 and has the attacking ability and the technical ability to be someone who plays on offense, and he plays at left back. So it's like, really, you're like spoils, right? The victor goes to spoils, because it's like, you can have anyone be playing and you have Jordi Alba, who's just as good as anyone else on the offensive part of the field, and he's your left back.
Yeah, of course. We've said it multiple times. It's like having another striker on the field. There are times where when Allende was unfortunately, in that streak of not being able to score, you had Jordi Alba not only making the passes into Messi, but he was also making runs into space, and he was able to finish clinically. Like, he is just an incredible asset to this team. So not only Jordi, but Sergio Busquets, how are either of them retiring? That's insane.
I know.
Still playing at such a high level.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
At this age, I beg the question of both of them. How are they leaving us? How are they leaving us? And it's going to be big shoes to fill for the Jordi Alba position at left back. I mean, you know, the newest rumor now is Kai Wagner from Philadelphia.
I was just about to say that, yeah.
Sergio Reguillon, we talked about already. So, I mean, that's the
former Tottenham player, fill, yeah.
So, I agree with you 100% with that. I think there's a big question here, and they're already starting to talk about it in the chat, and it's something
I know
that
where you're going, yep.
About as well. And it's, do we need Suarez to start next game? No Suarez, no problem. Mascherano's going to start Suarez and Cincy, and that's going to be a hard game to watch. People are talking about it. It's definitely a talking point. And I think what's interesting is sometimes amongst fans, you know, fans can be very emotional, and sometimes you can jump to conclusions because one guy doesn't start one game, and the guy that filled in played amazing, and the team looked good, and sometimes we're like, you know, people jump to conclusions and say the team plays better without this guy. But I'll say this, even others in other networks, you're talking about I saw on CBS Sports Golazo, on ESPN FC, people that have been in the industry for a long time are saying that this team is better without Suarez. It's not just an overreaction. It's not just an emotional take, a fan's take. The analysts, the reporters, people can see it. This team looks different for different reasons. This team looks better and different. What are some of the ones that you've seen, at least, that you can pinpoint and say, well, first of all, I don't want to put words in your mouth. Do you want Suarez to play next game? And if you think this team looks better without him, explain, like, why do you? And then I'll chime in. I want to know if both sides of that.
Well, it's a really good question, and it's a good point. And yeah, it has been a topic of conversation for a lot of, you know, football, soccer coverage we've been seeing. I think there's two answers. There's answer what I want to see, and what do I think is going to happen.
It's always the same question.
I don't think, you know, I think that's every football fan in the world, or any sports fan, honestly, of any team, when there's, you know, not every player on the roster can play. That's how sports work.
Would that question bear that much weight if Suarez wasn't Messi's friend? That's another question. But
I think, yeah, I mean, the answer is, I think I would rather see Suarez come off the bench in the game against Cincinnati, because just seeing the different view of this offense. I would like to see it because, again, Silvetti and Tadeo provide so much width and you know, they're speedy and attacking, and then you're not relying on Messi and Suarez to be the ones doing it. But then you even see in this past game, Messi pressing for most of the game because, again, I think you feel the comfort when you know you have two speedy players right around you, and even Baltasar Rodriguez, you feel comfortable with that. And obviously with Suarez, you know, he doesn't have the speed anymore. He does have the contributions. I think this is a good point by Tony. I mean, true enough that you can say Silvetti isn't a better contributor than Suarez at this point. I would say they're not exactly the same sample size, and what we've seen out of Silvetti this far has been really impressive. I think this is most likely what's going to happen, which is Suarez could start, but maybe we sit him down. I think I would like to see Luis Suarez come on as a sub because, like I said, he brings havoc. And when you're in the second half of a game, you need someone who brings the havoc and you're making the defense worried and someone who can have a moment of brilliance and score. But he's not who I would want to start. All of that being said, and I know you're about to give your point, I think he will be starting and Silvetti will not be starting. So that's what... whether I think that's right or not, I think that he's not at this stage, not going to lose his starting position, whether I think he should or not. So that's another battle in itself. But so yes and no. Exactly the answer you wanted.
Yes and no. That's funny. Yeah, like it is exciting to talk about sitting Suarez in the sense of creating engagement. I agree with the comments. People, you know, it's something that's going to make the headlines and that sort of thing. But I think there is some merit to it. I just don't think it's going to happen. Just because of the fact that you have, as long as Messi's on this team, Suarez will never see the bench. As long as Mascherano is on this team, Suarez will not see the bench. And then I think Suarez does obviously bring value to this team. And I think that we can be very in the moment, right? We see a 4-0, but we forget that just a few weeks ago, Inter Miami scored 5 on Nashville and Suarez was a starter. Just a few weeks ago, we scored 3 on Nashville. Suarez was a starter. And then we lose 1 and then we come back and win 4-0. And all of a sudden, you know, it's Suarez can't play and it's Silvetti needs to start instead of Suarez. And I think that that's just not going to work. And it may not be the smartest move simply because you have in these moments, especially this is the first when you're going into a realm that you've never been in as an Inter Miami team, as a club, you're going into the semifinals. You need a guy that brings experience. You need a guy that brings grit. You need a guy that can play mind games and that can react positively to the mind games. Because some of these other guys, like Silvetti, we have to remember, is young. Is he 19, 18?
19.
This is a big moment. And while he played very well, and I think that in time he's going to earn that spot, I think you need the veteran presence for that. And it may work out like... who was it that said to put him in the second half, or rather to bench him in the second half? Maybe Suarez will get benched in the second half with maybe 20, 30 minutes left. We'll see. And then Silvetti can come in. But right now, I think it's Suarez. Now, one thing I will say, though, is that this team defensively looks better without Suarez. And I think that that's not something a lot of us can argue. Guys, let me know what you think in chat if you guys can agree with this.
I think
defensively we look better without Suarez. Liability-wise, we're less of a liability on the counter. We're less of a liability of leaving spaces open without Suarez and having a guy like Silvetti. Because without Suarez, again, we were able to run Baltasar, Silvetti, and Tadeo Allende behind Messi. And those guys pressed, they pressured, they ran back. I mean, they made it really difficult on this Nashville team. And I think that that's something you're going to need against this Cincinnati team that we're going to be playing against. But for right now, I think it's Suarez.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. Like, I think you're right about Suarez. Again, like I said, I think in terms of what I would like to see, I liked so much what I saw out of Savetti starting. But in terms of the season overall and consistency and what we expect to see from the Inter-Miami team, I do obviously think Suarez will be the one playing. And, you know, he has done, I mean, this is a good point by Nick. You know, we scored 81 goals with Suarez and Allende. And their misses that we've seen this season, the team is has been good offensively throughout the season. And, you know, the Messi-Suarez partnership at its best is something that you just can't replace or try and replicate. And so, to your point, in these moments, especially when you're playing in, you know, winner-take-all game against Cincinnati, an away game, it's important to have someone with a strong head and one who won't let the crowd get to him. And if anything, probably will provoke the crowd and the players more. So I think it's a good point overall. And we'll see.
Yeah. I just want to see, look at Tony says expected goals doesn't reflect that Gio Nashville had 0.62 expected goals in game one and 0.58 expected goals in game three. That's with Baltasar helping out. I mean, yeah.
Well, I think Baltasar will still be playing and starting, whether, you know, it's Silvetti or Suarez. I don't think it's any other player or formation that would suffer from it.
No, it would be Baltasar. He's going to stay there. The one that really came in was Silvetti. So, I mean, Tony, if you're, you know, the stats do speak for themselves, but I think there's also the eye test. I think that what I liked a lot was just more action, more energy, more pressure, running back and being able to fight the counter. Like I think that the eye test showed that was more of a thing without Suarez on there. But at the end of the day, I think Suarez is the guy that has the veteran experience, and he's the one that they're probably going to lean on in moments like this. It's uncharted territory for Inter Miami. This isn't a time, like however you want to see it, Silvetti, as good as he may have played, is an experiment. That was just his fourth start. And the only reason he started was because Suarez couldn't play or wasn't able to play. So I think that that's still an experiment, and you don't have an experiment with not a lot. Like, you don't have a lot of history behind that type of lineup with a Silvetti lineup. You really can't do that going into a semifinal as much as I would like it. Now, next season, if Suarez is still around, I don't know. Like, I really like the way this team played, and that could be a different thing. If you have an entire season where Silvetti's, you know, starting, that's a little bit different.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And I mean, obviously we have the international break now, so we're gonna do at least another episode before the actual Cincinnati match, and that's when we'll really, I think, get into the details. But just really like a quick overview, like just what is your heart telling you in terms of this Cincinnati versus Inter Miami matchup? Obviously, it's going to be away at Cincinnati. They have players like Evander, you know, one of the MVP candidates and a lot of good players on their squad. I would still think, though, I'll say it, I think Inter Miami have not only a fighting chance, but a strong chance to win. And if we see this level of play, whether it's Suarez or Silvetti or whatever, if you have Messi, Alba, Busquets, et cetera, playing at this level, Rodrigo De Paul playing at this level, I take us versus anyone.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think if...
Oh, love.
I
think you have,
it doesn't happen often. But this team...
You're right, I'm always right. So, yeah.
This team... I mean, when you talk, it's got the names, it's got the talent, it's got the guys that if they play at their best, and you're talking about five guys, if those guys are at the top of their game, there's no one that can beat this team. That's what you brought them on for, and I think that that's what gives them the edge over anybody else. Like, outside, Columbus may have the other six best players. But if we have those top five players that we have, I think nobody can beat them. And I think, you know, Cincinnati did really good against a tough Columbus team. They beat them 2-1, then 4-0. They lost against Columbus, but then they came back and they bounced back 1-0. You know, that's a team that also showed grit after losing 4-0. That's not easy to then come back in the third game. Like, that's a lot of pressure, and that kind of messes with your psyche. Like, man, maybe we can't beat these guys after, right. You know, we took a shellacking from them. But look, Inter Miami has the win. It has the ability to win, and they have the X factor. Who's the X factor? Messi. And Messi is unstoppable from assisting to being able to score braces. You talk about the Paul that is, it looks like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie Cocoon, but it looks like he was in Cocoon and he got rejuvenated. Like, he's playing amazing. You talk about Tadeo Allende that is playing incredible now. Like, that's also an X factor, not just Messi, but Tadeo Allende having a streak of scoring seven goals in 10 games. Now, you don't have to worry about him missing these point blank goals. Like, that's another X factor for us. Busquets no longer playing in a back three and actually being part of the midfield and being able to make the passes that only he can make aside from Messi. It's incredible too. Ian Frey starting all the time now. Jordi Alba's healthy. Rios Novo's playing well. Maxi Falcón, like, this team has been up and down through the season. Sure. I think they're playing amazing at this point. And I really have no doubt. Like, I think it's going to be difficult, obviously. But even every time I say it's going to be difficult, like, it's not. So I don't know what to expect anymore. I thought this game three was going to be difficult. And I said it was going to be a close game. And we ended up winning 4-0. So what do I know? I just know they're going to win. I don't know how easy or how difficult it's going to be, but they're going to win.
Yeah, I mean, quick shout out to Maxi Falcón and Rios Novo, who have been absolute rocks in the defense and in the goal and have done such a good job to finish off the season. Maxi Falcón, who's played all season really consistently, I think the only players we ever really spoken about, definitely deserve a shout out. And look, I'll say this. If you have Messi at a 6 or 7, I take your chances of winning. If you have Messi playing at a 10 score, I really take my chances to win. I mean, you're seeing him playing at such a high level. And, you know, everyone around him, too, has raised their game. I
may not have said this. Sorry to interrupt. I may not have said this 2 months ago, but my money's on Allende now. Like, he's playing really well.
100%. No, I mean, exactly. When the setups and everything Messi does to create the moments for Allende, and then they pay off, you're like, wow, this team can do anything. And I mean, Nick said it best. If we can beat Cincinnati in TQL Stadium away from home, I believe in everything that this team can not only make it to the final, but win. Excuse me. Yeah. I mean, just Messi's medium best and best is so much better than everyone else that it's just amazing to watch, and I can't wait to keep watching it.
Agreed. Look, I've been watching Suarez for a long time. I don't think he's different in other than his knees are more jacked up than they ever have been. And I think that at this point in his career, he's running less. But, I mean,
for all your money to Alba to sacrifice Luis Suarez. I wish that's how it worked. I don't know what we could have done I would give Alba a gold statue if I thought it would keep him. Same for Sergio Busquets. But we'll take what we can right now. And that starts with Inter Miami's game against Cincinnati and just trying to end the season as well as possible. And yeah, I mean, look, like we said, DePaul wasn't having a great start to his Inter Miami career. But what I saw him do in this past game was absolutely excellent, and with him on the field makes a huge difference in how the team operates, spacing, the defense, the offense, everything works well because of DePaul being able to help soldier that midfield along with Busquets. Okay, this has been such a great episode. There's one more thing I want to get to. Like we said, we will definitely be doing more episodes, at least one more episode before the Cincinnati match, if not more. But There's something that happened today that I need to talk about. I'm going all the way back up to our chat. Comes from Ash. Messi visiting Camp Nou. make grown men cry, mostly European, but still. Yeah. Waking up this morning to seeing pictures of Lionel Messi that he posted on Instagram at Camp Nou in Barcelona on the field, seemingly just went by himself or, you know, with Rodrigo de Paul, who was the one who took the pictures, and just said to the gate agents, hey, I'd like to just go in and take pictures. And it was like the middle of the night. Okay, awesome. Didn't see that coming, but great. You know, it puts him in a happy place, and it makes obviously fans go, whoa, then great. I mean, we said, like, I just want to specify before we even get into it, he's just signed a contract extension with Inter Miami through 2028. I do not think he's going anywhere. I think the fact that he has a good relationship with the Barcelona front office, but, you know, still feeling that place in his heart, going to the stadium, seeing it, great.
Walking up to the stadium. Yeah, honestly, it must have been really emotional for him, I think.
Yeah.
Been there in a long time, and it wasn't even something that Barcelona
knew about
him. Yeah, knew nothing about it. Like, he just decided to stop in, and
that's, I think, so him.
See him there, like, it really is. And he said, last night I returned. Well, he said it in Spanish, but last night I returned to a place I miss with my soul, a place where I was immensely happy, where you all made me feel 1,000 times like the happiest person in the world. I hope one day I can return, and not just to say goodbye as a player, as I was never able to do.
Yeah.
I almost cried there. Hold on.
Well, I mean, you know, I think we don't need to go into too many details about it, because like I said, number one, for the contract. And also, I mean, Lamine Yamal, like, and Messi is not going back to Barcelona to play competitively anytime soon. But I think it's still amazing the place he holds for it, and that it's such an integral part of who he is, the city, the team, you know, being in La Masia, et cetera. It's amazing. And it is still, yeah, it's his happy place. He grew there, obviously, with Jordi, Busquets, and Suarez. It was cool to see. I think it's hilarious that Rodrigo de Paul was the one to take the pictures, like, because he just went by himself. And then you saw, like, I don't know if you saw the random TikTok of, like, this couple who was taking a video of themselves on the street, and then you see Messi and De Paul walking in the background. No security, no nothing. And Messi literally just said, let's just go to Camp Nou. Like, I don't, it's just so crazy. Conceptually, it's so crazy.
It is. Just the fact that he just walked in, and he's like, and I wonder what that phone call was like. He called La Porta. Hey, I'm nearby.
Are the gates open? People let me in. Yeah.
Are the gates open by any chance? I'm 5 minutes away. I was in the area.
I was in the neighborhood. Yeah.
No, but so I just think funny. It's incredible to see him there after such a long time of not seeing him, in the place that he grew up, in the place that he won so much, and in a place that really, it's tough, but they kicked him out, and it was really bad, and he went through a lot, I think. And now to see him back there and smiling, I think, is really awesome. And I think that, let's see if that brings another aura, another, you know, energy to him.
Yeah.
And we need it for this game against Cincinnati, but that's just really great to see him there. And I really thought it was interesting. I don't know what the heck this means. I'm not even going to speculate, but for him to say, you know, I like, hopefully one day I can go back and not just to say bye as a player. I don't know.
What I think it means becoming president. Like,
that would be the biggest comeback to La Porta. Imagine he runs for
president. Yeah, right.
La Porta. But I still hope that he goes back and plays a game there. Like, I don't know how it's going to be, where it's going to be. I don't know if they do it, if he signs a one-game contract. Look, if I'm in through Miami, I'm giving him the okay. Like, if you want to do it in the offseason, go play a game and go say goodbye. And I just think that he deserves that last game wearing a Barca jersey. It's something the world deserves. Everybody deserves it. You're a fan of the game. It's the one thing that we were left without. And I think we all need it.
Agreed. I mean, well, we're getting some comments. Obviously, like, that's his happy place. I get it. 100% his happy place. Tony's saying, well, of course he could. I wasn't saying he couldn't play from a talent standpoint. I just mean, obviously, with Laporta and now with Lamine Yamal taking over as, like, the talisman, Barcelona, the number 10. I just think it would be unrealistic. Yeah, like, Messi won't share the same air as
Laporta.
I agree with this, honestly.
Do you think he's leaving Inter Miami at the end, going back after obviously after his contract? Do you think he's going back
to live there?
To live there and to have his kids play for Barca? Is that the dream for Messi? Is that something that he wants? Or is he still, obviously, this may be a step in the right direction, but he still may have a little bit of a sour note, obviously. But I wonder if that's like the main goal for him, is to go back and have his family there and his kids play there.
It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, I would say that right now, obviously, his kids, like, have, in I would say, like, the prime of them growing up are now part of Inter Miami and the academy and, you know, at these crucial ages have been there. And so I don't know if they would want to leave or what that would even look like. And again, it wouldn't be for at least two more years, if not three. So, I mean, it could. Yeah, I think he's always said he's wanted to retire and spend the rest of his life in Barcelona. That's what he considers home. I think, yeah, I mean, as another good, like, political move, etc. We've been saying a lot of things about how Messi himself is trying to take Laporta out of, we could do a whole episode on probably on just Barcelona.
Dude, the two worst presidents, Bartolomeo, by far one of the worst presidents ever for FC Barcelona, put them in bankruptcy, screwed them up completely. And then Laporta right behind him with what he did to Messi. I want to see him out as well.
Yeah. When I was in Barcelona a few weeks ago, it was El Clasico. I was actually in Madrid and it was where the El Clasico was in Madrid. And then that day we went from Madrid to Barcelona and people were so upset in Barcelona, like, our taxi driver screaming for 25 minutes about how mad he was, the radio playing about the game. It just, yeah. I mean, obviously, it means everything there. And like I said, I think he will, like, retire and spend his post-career there. I don't, in terms of playing there, like, a last match or something like that, you never know. I mean, things are different now, but I don't know. I just don't know how he's going to be able to go and play there professionally. And I mean, part of it, obviously, I'm saying as an Inter Miami fan, but as a Messi fan, I understand the want and the desire to see it. I just don't know how it happened, and especially if Laporta is there. I don't think we'll have to worry about that for a while. Overall,
it was do it against like a bottom team like Elche, or you do it against I don't know, like, just it can't be obviously like a classic or anything, just, you know, one of the bottom teams, put them in for the last 10-15 minutes and say goodbye. We all need it, but
it would be lovely. I hope, as a fan of football and of Messi, I'd love to see it. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
But for now, I think we can talk about just how amazing the Inter Miami team has played in that game three, and how we have so much to look forward to with Cincinnati and seeing how this team continues to perform, including Messi, who's just honestly the absolute freaking best. I'm sorry, I said it. I was thinking when I was watching, and I think we've said it like 100 times this season, he's still in my best 11 in almost every team in the world. I'm sorry, he still is at 38. Doesn't matter. Going to play obviously now with the Argentinian national team. Sorry, he's still better than, like, everyone. It's just, he's just insane. The goal he scored from outside of the box in the left corner, just, we're very lucky and blessed, and I'm excited to see how they help and finish out the season.
Yeah, agreed. So next game against Cincinnati, in Cincinnati, it's going to be on Sunday, November 23rd, and the match is going to start at 5:12 p.m. So don't get confused. It's not a 8 p.m. game, 8:30 p.m. It's officially Sunday, November 23rd at 5:12 Eastern Standard Time. So
competing that's exciting. With football.
Yeah, it'll be. That's true, actually. Well, with the 4 p.m. games. So But no, it's exciting. It's exciting. We're right around the corner. They get to rest a couple weeks. So that'll come good to them. We know how heavy their schedule has been. It's been clogged up, nonstop games, played Nashville four times in a row. Like, this is a good time.
I know they're going to finally be playing someone else. So they're not going to know what to do.
Dude, I was getting boring, man. I'm like, I don't want to see Nashville again. I was planning a trip to Nashville this week, and I canceled. I don't want anything to do with Nashville right now. I'm just absolutely bored out of my mind.
You know what's funny? One of my best friends, she lives in the apartment building next to the stadium in Nashville. So when I visit her, I literally can see the stadium from her window. It's so crazy.
That's pretty cool. And so
she knew when she's like, I'm sorry, when it was game two and Nashville won. But anyways, a lot to look forward to. We will be, like you said, the game's the 23rd. We will be doing an episode next week again, live, to talk about, you know, any updates that happen between then and
Monday, 6 p.m.
preview of the game. Yep, Monday, 6 p.m., the 17th. Keeping consistent. And then, I'm just really excited and ready to go. This has been an awesome episode. Thank you so much for your participation. Great questions, great comments, great vibes. It's been really awesome. And we hope you have a great rest of your week, right?
Yep. Everybody have a great rest of your week. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you hit that little thumbs up. Every time you hit that little thumbs up, the algorithm catches it and more people get to see the video. So just help us out with that. And we'll catch you guys on Monday, 6 p.m. next week for another live episode.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Messi & Co. I'm Ashley, that is Gian, and we will see you next time.